Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of expert information and real chats on all things pregnancy, birth and beyond. Remember, as a podcast listener, you can get 15% off my online courses at midwifepip.com using the code podcast15. And just like that, you're at home with your new baby. And now what? All the newborn pictures seem to feature peacefully sleeping babies. And yet your well-meaning relatives have all told you to sleep as much as possible in pregnancy because you're never going to sleep well again. No wonder we enter parenthood so confused around baby sleep. This week's guests, Kat Kuby and Sarah Carpenter, known as the Sleep Mums and hosts of the Sleep Mums podcast, are here to empower you this week with their practical and intuitive, with zero judgment, sleep advice. So welcome, ladies, and thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having
us.
I mean, everyone wants to know everything you have to know now, don't they? Because if you are sat here listening to us with a new baby, you have probably Googled sleep more than you ever thought you would. I certainly know. 2 a.m., my search history was all around newborn sleep when my son was born. And I just wonder if you'd be happy to tell us a little bit about yourselves and then what led you really to become so interested in the subject of baby sleep.
Do you want to go first, Sarah?
No, you go for it.
Oh, so polite.
Well, no, do you know the thing is, so Sarah's a little bit of a reluctant star, but she'll come to tell you that her whole background is about babies and looking after parents and children. And I'm kind of the showbiz one, I suppose, that my background is presenting and writing and things. And so when I first suggested to Sarah that we do the podcast, she needed a little bit of persuasion. So she kind of always is like, you speak first. And I always say, do it for the children.
Yeah, I love it.
That's how I persuade her to do things. So I'm Kat. I'm a mum of three. I really struggled with my firstborn, as lots and lots of parents do. I read all the books. I thought, you know, I thought I could be really prepared by having all this information. And still, I really, really struggled. And I was confused as well, I think, by the overload of information. And through a friend of a friend, I was put in touch with Sarah when my daughter was about 6 months old. And she came to the house, she stayed over, and she was 9 months pregnant, 8 months pregnant herself. At that point, she was like, oh, just sleep on the floor. I was like, oh my goodness, she is a total trooper. But I thought, you know, she's going to need to be, because at the time my daughter was up every sort of 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was feeding her. We'd had lots of issues with feeding and she'd had tongue tie. So, you know, obviously I just wanted to feed her because I was worried about her weight. And Sarah and I just bonded at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night with this kind of stranger in my house. And not only did she save my my marriage, my experience as a parent by helping us get more sleep, We also became pretty firm buddies. And, you know, 7 years later, here we are. We always talked about writing a book together just because of what I do. And then the pandemic happened. And I said, why don't we do a podcast? We'll just do 6 or 7 episodes, you know, to support parents in those early weeks. And the response was phenomenal, and it grew from there. And we got an agent, and we got a book deal, and we published our first book, Sleep Better Baby, with HarperCollins last year. And yeah, it has grown into something we never ever thought it would. But you know, whenever I think about the sleep mums and us, you know, my mind always goes back to that very first night with Sarah, and she was sort of perched on the edge of my bed, pretty sure there were tears streaming down my face. You know, and I think about that all the time. I think we think about that all the time in terms of what we do. God, I think I'm quite emotional. I might be hormonal. I was about to have a proper cry there. In terms of what we do, we think about that all the time. We think about what that felt like and what it feels like to be, you know, up in the middle of the night, not knowing what to do, feeling quite alone, and feeling like you're failing, because that was a really big part of how I felt. Because I thought, oh, well, I've read all this information, you know, I'm an accomplished person, I've done all this stuff, like I should be able to do this, because there's this sort of feeling, I think, you know, that it will be intuitive, that motherhood or parenthood is intuitive. And yes, of course, there are elements are, but there's a lot of stuff you don't know. Sorry, I had a massive monologue there. So
I love it. I love it. And actually, Kat, it gives beautiful context to what we're going to be talking about today, because there's going to be lots of people listening that are like, yes, yes, yes. Like, that's me. That's where I am. And to hear that actually there's hope, there's choices, there's options, there's stuff you can do, there's support, there's other women going through it with you. You're not the only one at 3 a.m. is invaluable. So I'm really grateful that you shared a little insight into your story and how your beautiful partnership began. But Sarah, it sounds like you now need to sell yourself.
I can't do that at all. I did my training down at the Norland College a very long time ago, and very quickly realized that my area of speciality was going to be babies. And then after working in Australia for a few years as a maternity nurse, came back to Scotland and realized that parents really did just need troubleshooting help. They didn't want the traditional maternity nurse anymore. They wanted to do what they wanted to do and be the parents they wanted to be, but then know that they could access help when they were ready. And so Sarah Carpenter Sleep was born, which was essentially me troubleshooting for all sorts of issues, but the majority of parents would come to me with sleep issues. It grew and grew and grew from sort of phone calls here and there to the overnights, which I absolutely loved, you know, getting to actually see parents and bond with them and really be able to help them, not just with sleep, but with everything. And then obviously Kat and I met through that. And then during the pandemic, that then evolved further into what I do now, which I do still go in-house, but a lot of what I do is remotely on camera. So I'm still with the parents overnight, so it's real-time advice at every wake-up, but it allows me to reach more people. So last week I was working with a family in Australia, and this week I'm working with a family in California. So it's really nice. And it just shows, you know, so many people need help with sleep, but the worrying thing is that people feel like they aren't allowed to get help, or they're failing if they do get help. And I would love for every single person that has a baby to know that there is help out there, because nobody should suffer in silence, and nobody should not enjoy parenting because of the lack of sleep. And so many people suffer with that.
Oh my goodness, Sarah, you're incredible. Being up with my own child was really hard, but you're up with other people's children. Like, that's a whole nother level of...
She is crazy. She exists in so little sleep. It's like, I mean, it's so funny because we talk about how passionate we are about sleep, and I'm like, yeah, and you need to get some more.
Yeah. Yeah. All the benefits of great sleep. And you're like, You're getting the least.
No, but the thing with that, like, people say that to me all the time, you know, how are you not exhausted and how do you do it? with other people's babies, but it's so different. You know, mums and dads have all the hormones and emotions of their own baby and are going through such turmoil, because the minute you have a baby, you're a completely different person. So there's so many other factors to what everybody else is going through. Literally all that I am doing is staying awake and advising. So I'm in my comfort zone. So I don't ever want people to think that I'm doing anything special or anything that's, you know, making me suffer, because it really isn't. Like, it's you guys, it's all these new parents, and not even just new parents, you know, I have a lot of clients who are on baby number 3, 4, 5. So it's whatever, you know, every baby is so different, that whatever stage you're at, you guys are the ones that are going through it and, you know, being tortured by lack of sleep. Lack of sleep for me is nothing, because I know that I'm helping.
Oh, you are. We need more people like you in the world. You're incredible. And one of the things I just wanted to touch on, we kind of alluded to there, is around that kind of judgment and stigma around sleep in terms of getting help, but also just generally. I feel like it's always one of the first things people ask you, oh, congratulations, you've had a baby. Have they slept? Like, do they sleep? Are they a good sleeper? Like, it's one of those things that just rolls off people's tongues automatically. And we judge this child by how long and how often they sleep imminently. What are your thoughts around that? Because it must be something you see all the time.
I think we judge ourselves as well because of that narrative. So I think that we put an absolute shit ton of pressure on ourselves. And I think that it's, I think that's true at parenting as a whole, but there are these sort of pressure points, I think, particularly around sleep, just because it makes you feel terrible. Like, you know, of course it is a part of parenthood, but that doesn't mean that, you know, being sleep deprived is some joyous state to be in. It's not, it's rough. And you look back and you think, oh my God, I can't believe I drove my car, or, you know, like, but I think that every single sort of pressure point in terms of parenthood, there is going to be judgment around, because whatever you do, whatever ends up working for you, you need reassurance that that was the right thing to do. I mean, not everyone, I'm not saying that everyone is judgy, because, you know, our community totally isn't judgy. Like, that's the important part, and I'm sure yours isn't either, but there are people out there who are. But I think that, yeah, we sort of need to feel reassured by the decisions we make. So sometimes people get really sort of like loud about what they've done and the fact that it worked for them, and that's where the judgment comes in, I think. So I feel like I've been a bit vague about that, but
yeah, definitely. Like, I think it's automatic for people to want to validate what they've done, which is understandable. But I think if everybody was able to just rationalize that what works for somebody now isn't necessarily going to work in 6 months' time. So there's a lot of judgment from people in those early days because something that they've done is working for them. So they judge the next person for doing something different. But then actually, those judgy ones are the ones that in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months' time are then needing to change what they've been doing because it no longer works for them. So if we could just remove all the judgment from day dot, it would be amazing, because people could then freely support each other and just acknowledge that babies change, babies needs change, parents needs change, and it's okay to go with that. And I also think the judgment is there over people meeting babies' needs. However, it's important that parents' needs are met as well. And I don't think there's still not enough. I mean, Kat and I talk about parents' needs all the time, but I don't think people do talk about that enough, because like Kat said at the start, you know, tongue in cheek about saving her marriage, but you know, for a lot of people that is real. Like, relationships break down in those first years of having children because of lack of sleep, because of lack of communication. And you know, for a lot of people, if they could access the help that they needed initially judgment free, then the relationships would survive. There's no two ways about it. So, you know, by changing the way we view baby sleep and baby's needs and actually focusing on the parents as well as the baby, it would really help everybody feel less judged and get the help that they need.
I was thinking about that the other day, you know, that like the kids are all right thing that's like from what the parents are all right, like in some ways, because it all totally filters down, you know, like I know that my kids are happier and in a better place when I'm happier and in a better place. And that's not to throw shade on people going through difficult times. I also had, you know, really struggled after the birth of of my son and then beat myself up about the fact that I was in a bad place and therefore like what impact that was having on him. But it's about making sure that that people have support to be in the best place that they can be at that point in time.
Yeah, definitely. And it's hard, isn't it? I definitely remember with my son, a lot of my friends' babies that were born around the same time just slept through the night. They didn't do anything particularly, they just did. And my little boy did not. And I remember thinking, there must be something I'm missing. It must be something I'm doing. So for those people that are sort of thinking that, I totally resonate. And that's why we're having this super supportive and non-judgmental discussion today, really. And it leads me to that new baby phase, brand newborn, full trimester, everything's new. You've suddenly got home and you're like, what on earth am I doing now? What are the realities of sleep with a newborn, ladies? Tell us.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So this, there is no reality. I think that's the thing, you know, every baby is so different that you don't know, you know, between our six babies, those first few weeks have been different with every single one of them. And, you know, some people can get newborn babies who do just sleep all the time and other people get brand new babies who don't. So I think removing this idea that there's a normal or a reality is also a good thing. But the really super important thing to remember that is in those first few weeks, it's not about sleep. And actually, if you get a good feeding schedule and you're focusing on the feeds, the sleep does follow with that. So a lot of people, they want to start newborn life focused on sleep. But actually, if you forget about sleep completely, you've got way more chance of being that little bit more relaxed and actually finding that you fall naturally into better sleep habits. But you can't do anything wrong either. And that's, you know, again, something that Kat and I probably bang on about in every single episode, that you can't do anything wrong and you can't make mistakes. And, you know, it's all about being comfortable with your choices and doing what feels right for you at the time. So if you have a newborn that you want to contact nap with 24/7, that's totally fine. Or if you have a newborn that you want to put down in a cot, that's totally fine. The main thing is that you feed your newborn.
I love that. So helpful, because how many times have we heard, you know, if someone's cuddling their baby, or you're making a rod for your own back, or, you know, you're going to regret that. We hear that all the time, don't we? I think it's probably slightly a generational narrative as well. So I love that we're changing the conversation around that, because you just can't overcuddle a new baby, can you? They're just too scrumptious and they grow so quickly.
Yeah, definitely.
I think as well, you know, we just harking back to talking about parent care as well, like so much of what happens in those first few weeks can be about the birth that you've had, you know, whether your baby is born at term, whether they're early, they're, you know, a bit later, and all of those things can impact how they are when they're born, and of course how you are when they're born too.
Yeah, it's still so raw, isn't it? And I think it's called the fourth trimester for a reason. It's almost like that time we need to just give ourselves some grace and just be kinder on ourselves and our new life as we navigate this whole new role, especially if it's your first baby. So it's probably no secret that you may not sleep so much when you've got a child than you did previously, unless, of course, you are Sarah, who doesn't sleep very much anyway. But is there anything parents can do to kind of prepare for that, or understand or learn a little bit about what to expect?
Well, it was funny when you said at the start about, you know, folk telling you when you're pregnant that you should, you know, sleep more because you're not going to sleep in the future. First, as someone who had really awful pregnancy insomnia, you tend to not be sleeping that much when you're pregnant either. And then on top of it, sleep doesn't work like that. It's not like we've got this bank that you're like, oh, there we go. I had a really good sleep up until whatever age I was when I had a baby. And it doesn't matter because I had lots of great sleeps. It's so insane and so frustrating. You're probably actually better training yourself by waking up every 3 hours. And I think, you know, just in terms of the things that you can do when you first bring your baby home, like no pressure, as Sarah said, you're in those first few weeks, you are trying to kind of just get to know your baby and get to know yourself as a new parent. And then there are sort of wee things that you can do, which will help to put in kind of some of the foundations that might help you towards better sleep. As Sarah said, focusing on feeds, thinking about night and day. Lots of people talk about babies having jet lag when they're born, but it's just about establishing circadian rhythms so that you want them to have their daylight hours, you know, whatever that looks like to you, their daytime hours, and using light to help that, and then overnight for those sort of, for the 12 hours or so, whatever you choose them to be, that you're using darkness and softer voices and things like that. And you said about bringing your baby home, like when I first brought my daughter home, we would like had the telly on really loud, you know, all of these things overnight when I was feeding her, and like we would both be talking, and it's like no wonder she wasn't sleeping. We weren't creating a sleep positive environment for her to do so. I mean, aside from the fact that she was also a newborn, and she's got a lot of sass even as an nearly eight-year-old.
Kat, I remember, because I didn't know the whole sleep in the day, improve sleep at night situation. So I remember when our little boy was a few months old, we'd be like, don't let him nap, we need to keep awake, because otherwise, you know, he won't be tired at night time. That's why he sleeps so terribly. So I think definitely educating yourself a little bit around that is a good thing, right?
It's funny as well, like obviously Sarah and I talk about sleep a lot. Sarah's extremely knowledgeable. I've kind of joined her on this journey. And the number of people that still say what you've just said, like, oh, we keep them up. And it actually blows my mind, because I'm like, I feel like everyone talks about this, that overtiredness is the like biggest reason to not be sleeping. But yeah, it's wild how much that still exists, I think. Mm. I think it. And we talk about overtiredness and undertiredness a lot, because I think it can also be something that kind of freaks parents out, because you're like, how the hell do I know what that balance is? And people get like, this wasn't so true when I was when my daughter was born. I don't know about you, Sarah, but people talk a lot about awake windows now, and I think that can be quite stressful for parents too. You've got your head in your hands.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, awake windows are a thing and they are real, but they are real for the first few months. You know, it's really from 0 to 12 weeks, maybe 16 weeks at a push, that you have to be very aware of awake windows. But I cannot tell you how many people I getting in touch around about 8-9 months saying, but I'm sticking to the awake windows. And it means that, you know, I wake them up an hour and a half before they go to bed for their nighttime sleep, but then they won't settle for nighttime. And it's like, yeah, that's, you know, you're following awake windows for a very tiny baby. And that is, that's something that frustrates me especially, but Kat over the years as well, because I've drilled it into her, with all the advice being so focused on like the newborn days and the newborn weeks, and nobody's there to tell you how to progress. So a lot of people focus on those first few months, or, you know, the first, I suppose, not 5 months really. But then it's like this big void of the next stage of advice. So, you know, people do get stuck. It's similar with there's other popular sleep consultants who talk a lot about the dream feed, but then nobody actually tells people how to stop the dream feed. So, you know, that again is something that we do try really hard to fill the gaps where people have sort of offered advice and then not. And awake windows is one of them. I think, have we got a podcast episode on awake windows?
No, I'm not sure we have. I mean, we talk about it so much, but that's going in the next series.
Yeah, that's your afternoon plan. No, you're so right, and it's one of those things where sometimes too much generalized information just becomes really unhelpful. And, you know, I obviously sit in the birth world, and it's really similar in that aspect, that too much information that's not specific to you just causes chaos, and you're almost better having none of it and stripping back to a few little key pointers that actually work for you and your family. So the sleep deprivation that naturally does come with this transition into parenthood, what tips do you guys have for parents to cope with it?
I think our favourite one.
Check out the Sleep Mums and buy the book, Sleep Better Baby, available in all good bookstores.
And you use people. I think that's the really important one. You know, people want to visit when you've got a new baby, but they don't have to visit and just have a cuddle with the baby. Like, ask them to help, do the hoovering, do the ironing, make a cup of tea, bring you a meal, go and do a food shop. You know, these are all things that have to be done and contribute towards the sleep deprivation. But actually, if you've got a team of people that are willing to help, like I still recall with my first, who's now 11, I woke up one morning, so me and Harry had a bit of a lie-in. I think he was maybe 6 days old, and I woke up and my wee sister was in the kitchen doing the ironing. So she'd driven half an hour to go to her work, but had arrived early, and I'd just set the ironing board up and started doing the ironing, and it was like the best thing in the world. So I got an extra hour in bed while she ironed all his clothes, which really didn't need iron, but it was a lovely thing.
I was gonna say, I don't think I ever ironed any of my baby's clothes, so.
It was just amazing. And so it's little things like that, I think, you know. And you don't necessarily, obviously I was really lucky that particular morning Harry and I were both sleeping, but even if we'd just had the opportunity to sit on the couch and, you know, stare at my new baby, that would have been equally as restorative as that hour of sleep. So yeah, I think that is, it's not a nice thing to say use people, but you know what I mean, like, take advantage. If people are there and offering to help, take advantage of that.
I think quite often, as you say, people say, oh, you know, I want to come and see the baby, or I want to be there for you or something like that, and they come around and cuddle the baby, and really what you need them to be doing is something else. And I think it's like feeling okay to do that, that those people that love you and they're there to support you, but also about having a support network that's wider than that. And that could, that includes, I'm sure, you and your podcast and us and ours, you know, that having people around or support around, and never ever feeling shame for accessing that or needing to. I think from an actual sleep sort of perspective, as Sarah said, definitely focusing on feeds for quite a long time, you know, like that's such an important part of it. Good feeds and then winding and then sleep will follow. And I feel, you know, that I think we would both say that having a start and an end time to your day, a consistent start and end time to your day, again, everything sort of falls into place. If you can have those two things where you are focusing on feeds and you have a consistent start and end time to your day, those are the most important things when it comes to sleep. And a lot of people get freaked out by routines and things like that, but everyone has a routine, whether you're following one strictly or you're not, there is a routine happening for you. And as the sort of bare bones of it, those are the important things to include.
And that can be so helpful, can't it? And just sort of having that feeling, that structure in your day. I was just laughing when you were talking about the ironing the baby clothes, because I remember when I was pregnant, I went on a night shift and I came back and my husband had ironed every vest. Everything we bought was beautifully ironed, and it's never happened again since, because I have not got time for that.
No.
What a lovely feeling to come home to, though.
I know. It was lovely. So lovely. I don't think my husband's ever picked up the iron, full stop.
I mean, I think it was a first and a last cat. but you've got to laugh at me. It's that proud moment, isn't it? All those little baby girls hang up on like a washing line. That's just the best, isn't it? The best feeling.
I think the sort of final tip that I would have, I don't know if Sarah would add to it. I mean, obviously getting support, we talked about getting support from the right places, but also trying to not overwhelm yourself and therefore compare, like, you know, I think you were saying in terms of birth, it's very true, but that sort of pick someone or pick people that you like, that you relate to, that you feel get you as a parent, and follow their advice. Because sometimes I think it can be super overwhelming, particularly, you know, on social media and stuff. Like, obviously we follow lots and lots of people when it comes to parenting, and you within a 2 minute scroll you can have been contradicted a million times. And like we're a very lovely pediatric neurologist wrote the foreword to our book, Dr. Neve Lynch, and I was chatting to her the other day, and she was saying she thinks that parents are more anxious than they have ever been. Mm-hmm. And that it's because of social media, and you would think, oh my goodness, there's so much information out there that would be good that we're sharing. But actually, it's because we're so confused. We're like, one person's telling us to do this, then the next person's telling us to do something else. No wonder we're tying ourselves in knots. Mm. So, you know, there's space for lots of different like methods or types of people or whatever it is, but kind of choose someone and go with what they're saying rather than trying to get overwhelmed by lots of people. And obviously we would say come with us because we are we're the best. We're the best.
And they say, don't they, comparison's a thief of joy. And I think when it comes to new mums, new babies and social media, that is so true and highlighted in so many different people's lives. And can I ask you, ladies, about breast and bottle feeding? Are there any differences at this newborn stage, especially around sleep, for breastfed and bottle fed babies?
Nope. Do what you want to do and be comfortable with it. And if you've made a choice during pregnancy and it doesn't work out, don't feel any shame at all.
That's such great advice, Eric, because I know lots of people will beat themselves up one way or the other when it comes to feeding choices. But also some people think my baby doesn't sleep well because I'm feeding them via breast or via bottle. And sometimes that will then impact their feeding choice based on sleep, which ends up with really kind of, I think, murky waters, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, we obviously we're saying focus on feeds and winding, but that suggests that babies only wake up, you know, overnight or during naps because they're hungry, and there's a million reasons why they do. And of course, you know, there are some differences, but really overall there isn't.
No, that's really good. So if regardless of how you feed, the sleep advice is all the same, which is nice, makes it a little bit smoother, I think. Structure and routine, we spoke about a little bit. When can parents start to think about developing a little bit more of a routine if they want to? Because I do remember the beginning with a newborn really enjoying that lack of routine. Like, we went off walking and then out to pubs in the evening till quite late. And you might be thinking that was a terrible thing to do. I'm not sure.
No, not
I like
that's
that.
A brilliant thing to do. And Sarah is the queen. You know, her favorite word is consistency, but then swiftly followed by flexibility within consistency. Mm. And I'm sort of I'm a routine, or have been a routine queen, where I literally was like, nope, they need to be in bed at this time, because I'm a bit of a control freak and I like things to fall into place. But with my third, he's just one, I've been much more relaxed, and it feels so much better. So I feel like Sarah's taken like all that time to teach me to chill out about it. but yeah, I mean, it's about whatever is working for you at that moment in time.
You do start a loose routine from the day that they're born, because you do stick to a feeding schedule. You're not, you know, even if you choose to have your longest stretch of not feeding during the day and then feed more regularly overnight, it's still a choice that you've made and you go with that. So regardless of whether you're conscious of putting a routine in place, because you're meeting babies' needs through feeds, you have got, if you actually wrote it down over 5 days, you would see that there was a loose structure there already. And that then allows you to do whatever you want, because you can feed on the move, you can sleep on the move. So you literally don't need to be restricted by a routine at all. As baby gets older, there are some things that benefit them to be a bit more structured and also benefit you as well. So, you know, if you have been napping on the move, you might get to a point where actually you want them to have a nap in the cot because you've got stuff that you need to do around the house. Or if they've been carrier napping, they just get too big and heavy, and so you need that more independent nap from that point of view. So you never need to have a super structured routine, but you will realize that you do actually have a routine in place.
Definitely. And I think you see that, don't you? I certainly felt that as my little boy, he's now 20 months, got older, we needed that. But at the beginning it was quite nice just to have that, oh, we'll just pop out, and I was breastfeeding, so we didn't need to pack anything. It was really nice to have that freedom, and it's something I'll definitely, I think, use more with a future child in that immediate period, because we didn't realize how much freedom we could have had at the time, because we were so worried about sleep, which is frustrating, isn't it?
It can be a little bit baby dependent as well. Like, I would say I've had two that would be really, really flexible with those kind of things. But the sort of the reason that the sleep mums exist, my eldest is not so flexible and really struggled with changes in routine, which was kind of why I got so into it. And so that's also about getting to know your baby and what works for you, because, you know, saying, oh yeah, be flexible, go out to the pub or do this, but if you're there and you've got a screaming baby and it's making you miserable, but your partner's like, but we need to keep our life the same, that can be as stressful. So, you know, yes, being flexible is great, but if it's not working for you or it's making you miserable, don't do it.
Definitely. For sure. And your life just isn't the same, isn't it? We like to think it won't change, but it does. There's this small human that you're entirely responsible for. Your brain just sort of ends up rewired, I think, once your baby arrives.
Well, we were chatting about this the other day, and I was saying, like, I sort of feel like it's really taken me now, like, 8 years since I became a parent, to feel like comfortable in wearing that hat, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know, I think it takes a really long time to kind of combine the pre-parent you and the parent you, and of course you're the same person, but it just takes a very long time, I think, for them to kind of coalesce. Or maybe that's a bit philosophical. I can hear a baby coming, by the way, so we might have it.
They're all welcome. Love a baby. Now, everyone that comes on the podcast, I ask for 3 top tips, which is a bit unfair because there's 2 of you and that's an uneven number. So feel free to do a couple each if you want to. But your top tips for either expectant or brand new parents listening to us chat today.
You can go first, Kat.
I was waiting for that.
I kind of thought we'd sort of covered that, I guess, in terms of like using your support, using the people around you, try not to judge yourself harshly or other people. Definitely don't do that. Don't be too smug either if you are getting loads of sleep. And I think one of the biggest things that we talk about in terms of sleep is that it's not linear. It will never fall in a straight line. So those people that you had in your classes when your baby was little, they might have been getting sleep in those early days, but they might not be getting it now. And that's true. I think that's not to make you freaked out about sleep. It's just the fact that, you know, it's a long process with children, you know, but when they get older, they're getting up for a wee in the night, or they've lost their favorite toy, or they're having nightmares, or, you know, that there is always going to be something. And whilst that might seem stressful, it's also why getting tools that work for you and your family in the early days are really, really useful, because they are not just going to see you through for a year, they're going to see you through out childhood, you know. And that's, whilst our book is really up to kind of 18 months, so much of the guidelines that we have in it, I see you through the whole of childhood too.
That's so good, and that's made me feel so much better, thank you. But now they are getting up in the night when I'm sleeping.
Yes.
No judgment, of course.
No, never any judgment.
Sarah, anything you want to add?
No, I think Kat has covered it with that. I think, you know, it is, yeah, that you can't really prepare for it. So just get the support that's out there, you know that there is support out there, and access what works for you.
Amazing. And Sarah, if people want you to be up with them all night, where do they contact you?
So they can either find me through the Sleep Mums, or they can come direct to me at Sarah Carpenter Sleep on Instagram or through the website.
Amazing. Thank you both so much for lifting the lid on a topic that we definitely need to support new and expectant parents more on. I really appreciate your time.
No, thank you so much for having us.
Before you head off, I just need to tell you something. 68% of you who listen to my podcast have not hit the subscribe button. So can you do me a favor? If you have ever enjoyed listening, and hit subscribe now. It makes a huge difference and helps me to keep bringing you episodes. The bigger the podcast, the bigger the guests, and the more women we can reach and help. Thank you for subscribing, and I look forward to chatting again soon.
Hold up. Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.